All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing the local podcast. Good morning. April 17th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you were at. 2 days after tax time. Hope everybody got their taxes in or whatever it is that you do. Hopefully you're feeling confident, right? Complete. Not too much stress, too much pressure. I was talking to somebody, they're like, oh, I get an extension. And I was like, why? And I'm not going to get too deep into it, but it just feels good, right? There's sometimes, even though, I've heard people say, you know, it's you don't want the government holding your money. You want to hold your own money. And I agree. That's smart. Problem is, I'm not that smart, right? And so I've always just been like, take my money. And when it's time, give me back whatever I overgave you and we'll be cool. And but people are like, that's stupid. I'm stupid. On some things, I'm just dumb. But one thing I know, I make sure that it's all paid for, right? My buddy Matt said, you're either going to pay a bookkeeper or you're going to pay the IRS. And I was like, okay. When I opened the salon, and this is the last week of the salon being open, sort of a bittersweet week. Doing a lot of reflecting, and you know, I remember as a person that it was sort of new to recovery, right? I'd been sober for just a little while, and you know, I wanted to open a salon, but I remember I talked about it a lot, right? And he was like, if you want to open a salon, I'll help you. If you want to just talk about it, shut the fuck up. And I was like, I got you. And I said, I want to open a salon. And I remember him, you know, he got me. And I've talked about it, meetings with the right people and, you know, everything fell into place. But he says, you need an accountant and you need a CPA. No, you need a payroll company and you need a CPA or something like that. And I was like, oh, okay. And he goes, because if you don't, you're either going to pay them or you're going to pay the IRS. And it's been that was some great advice because I immediately had a payroll company, even though now in my version of the salon that I own, it's only one employee, which is me. And even into the next adventure, which is going to be like a 1099, renting a chair. I'm still like sort of a small business, but a lot less responsibility. But I'm still going to keep my payroll company, right? I'm still going to make sure that I take out the correct amount because it isn't worth it, right? I don't need to be the smartest person in the room on this situation. All I know is that I'm prepared and I'm working with people to help me make sure that I don't get myself in a situation. And you know, due to that advice, 14 years later, I've been audited twice, in fact, and clean bill of health. So I'm super grateful. Thank you, Matt, for that advice. But yeah, it's 2 days after that. That was the whole point of that. It is a beautiful day. Heading out into the water today, doing some paddling. Need a little beating. No, haven't done anything. It's going to be kind of a busy day because we're going to paddle and then we're moving boats and getting ready for the summer and just, you know, whatever it is we got to do to get ourselves prepared for a great season paddling out in the ocean, which I'm really looking forward to. The weather's definitely been improving. It's been nice. Now we are struck with a ton of pollen. My eyes feel like two dirty marbles rolling around in the front of my face, and it's awful, but we're going to make it. We're going to make it, and I hope everyone is having a great day. I hope everyone's sober today. Did go to a meeting. Going to a meeting tonight. Went to a meeting on Monday. It's the 11-step season, right? Obviously, did the 10th last week and the 9th before, so what should be next? The 11th. And probably, to me, one of the greatest steps in the book, right? And I seem to say that every time, but... I love this step. I love it. I love it. I love it. And you know, one of the cool things about this step is it requires a shit ton of work. Right? You need to have done a lot of work. You know, if you've done, you know, and this talks about the spiritual awakening. And I don't know if, you know, I might've said this the other day, but my buddy said, you know, if you've worked these 11 step, you should have had the spiritual awakening. If you have not had a spiritual awakening by this point, more than likely you haven't worked the first 11 steps, right?
The world is burning down. Can't you smell the smoke in the air? War.
That was deep. What did you just say there? Oh, my God. Mr. President, I hereby pardon you of all your crimes, for they are just as much mine. Selfishness and separation have led me to believe that the world is not my problem. Yeah, interesting. That is live. That is off their first Mental Jewelry album. I think that's their first album, Mental Jewelry. 10,000 Years Peace is now. Yeah. Mr. President, I pardon you for all your crimes, for they are just as much mine, right? Oh, man. What a place, right? What a place we have to get to where we become willing to become accountable for the role that we play and all of our problems. Right? This topic always comes up in conversations with, like, my dad and other people, and the journey, the path that I've been on in recovery, and that real moment where I had to start becoming accountable. I had to start taking my share of the blame, because I can't blame everybody, and I was a blamer. And, you know, the 11th step is that place, right? This is, for me, right? I don't even know for me. I'm not speaking for anybody, but... let me read it in my trusty book right here. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. You know, I've shared so many times, right? This evolution of my spirituality, my spiritual awakening, my spiritual realignment. Had a realignment, didn't even know I was out of alignment, right? I had a spiritual awakening, didn't even know I was spiritually asleep. I didn't know anything when I came in here. I know I was being inconvenienced, and I had to, you know, had to come up with a solution. But the journey over the years, and I've gotten to this place, right? And I still look at that constant contact. I want to make sure I read it. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. And I still, you know, I'm still like on the fence trying to figure out what that even is, right? I've yet to have this direct line to the man upstairs. I'm actually starting to become over the idea of there's a man upstairs at all, right? I do believe, I know I have a conscience, right? And I know that I have a battle between self and humility. If I want to call it God and the devil, that's fine. Whatever it is we want to call it, there's clearly two sides. And I have definitely been swayed to the selfish side for a long time in my life. And, you know, coming in to try to fix my drinking problem, my drug problem, and my whatever other problems I've ever had, you know, really I didn't understand that that imbalance, that malady, the spiritual leaning the wrong way was behind it. And working on it, and I feel like I've gotten to a place where I'm, you know, I know where the center is. Now it's my choice if I want to stay there or get off the beam. And but I know that when I do make that conscious decision, right, to try to stay centered on the beam and do the next right thing, I've been suffering. I have been suffering for a couple weeks. I've talked about it. And my big issue right now is I'm just not minding my own business. And it's a character defect. I don't know why. Or I think I just have always done that. I think I'm always not minding my own business. I think I'm always looking at what other people are doing or who's behaving how or whatever it is, not minding my own business. But for some reason, in the last few weeks, it's really been bugging me. It's really affecting me. And I can pay attention to, you know, simple little things, you know, the kids riding their skateboard on the sidewalk. Is it the end of the world? Not really. They're kids, right? You know, I have to pay attention, right? One, I have flower pots outside. I want to make sure they don't hit them and hurt themselves. You know, so I'm paying attention to like little things, and that's fine, right? Who's mowing the grass? You know, whatever it is. I mean, I'd like to say all I do is think about myself, but it's not the reality. I'm definitely paying attention to other things. But, you know, when it comes to like this presidential election and the politics and all of the COVID and all the crazy stuff that's been going on and just focusing, hyper-focusing on these things, it's making me spiritually sick. I'm not minding my own business. And, you know, I finally said, you know, I can't do that anymore. I mean, I'm looking at stuff, but I'm definitely not. I got to be better. I don't have to really do anything, right? It's my choice. I choose how happy I want to be. I choose how peaceful I want to be. And I haven't been making the right choice, or I just haven't been very peaceful. And so suffer as I may, right? And so, but I'm feeling restless, irritable, and discontent. And it's all because of that. And I'm sure there's other things, but that being is the big one. Just not minding my own business. And, you know, and I see this, you know, as a person, as a guy that's closing down the salon, my clients, like all day yesterday, what are you doing with your stuff? What are you going to do with all your stuff? I'm like, don't worry about it, right? Why are you not minding your own business, right? But I guess as humans, that's just sort of what we do, right? But, you know, I'm having to address it. It's become a little bit of a thing. And so I'm trying to pay more attention to me and less attention to other people. But, you know, over the time, you know, I definitely didn't come here for that, right? And over time, you know, over these 11 steps, right, getting to this place where through prayer, meditation, you know, I was hoping that I would come to this place where I had this direct line with God. For me, right, not speaking for anybody, but I don't think for me there is a direct line with God. If there is, I don't think I'm at that VIP level, right? I'm still a simple commoner, right? I have to do things the hard way. And I don't think there is a direct line directly to God. But what I do think is that there's a place, there's a yard, right? It's a fenced-in yard. And it's a place of peace. And when I'm in it, I'm great, right? And I think that's what God's turning out to be for me, is this place of peace, this yard, this fenced-in place where I'm not afraid of anything, right? It's like being in your house, right? Really, you know, if we can just keep it super simple, right? If I could just minimize the outside noise and the bullshit and just keep it super simple in reality, like RFK says, I only am in charge of the real estate inside of my shoes, right? And if I can just remember that and stay focused that right here, right now, I am absolutely safe and free of fear, right? Nothing freaks me out. Nothing scares me. I want to protect that, right? I want to protect that. And the steps, I think, help me protect that safety that keeps me comfortable in my house, right? And that turns out to be, I think, what the relationship with God is, right? And I just use the yard as an example. But there is this place where if I do what I'm told, I'm pretty cool. If I don't, if I get out of my place, if I start looking at what other people are doing, fear creeps in and I lose the yard, right? I lose the fence. I lose the protection. And, you know, to me, God's become a byproduct of a lifestyle, right? If I choose to live the correct lifestyle of humility, doing the next right thing, you know, clearly not drinking, right, but doing the next right thing, working with others, you know, working the 12 steps of these program, I can choose to have a great life, free of fear, free of all that. If I don't follow these directions, I live in anxiety-ridden world, right? And I don't want to do that. So what I think my meditation for me, because I, you know, and I shared this in the media the other night, I don't even know what that is, right? I've gone to breath work. I've done meditation. I focused on the tennis ball. I've done all this stuff and I love it. I love all that stuff. But I've never had a direct contact with God, right? I never have had this, hey God, what's up, right? I've never had it. Or I've never had the version that self would like to have. Right, because I think that's really what it ends up being. Self wishes that he had this, and I'm on the side like going, "You think you're going to get it?" And he never gets it. Right, he never gets that direct contact with God. Maybe I haven't reached the place yet. Maybe there is another level of peace and serenity and humility where all of a sudden you do have a direct contact with God. But I don't even think I would want that. Right, I think what for me meditation is that I have to keep reminding myself that I want to stay in this place. And, you know, I've said it before, you know, character defects are the thing that keeps me out of the yard. Character defects tear down the fence. Character defects allow scary things in, right? And that's just whether it's, you know, in my mind or actually physical, right? Character defects, you know, I can tell you many times in my life, a character defect of mine allowed me to get into a situation that was not healthy for me, right? I didn't see it at the time, you know, but that's, you know, character defect, whether it's a physical or a mental or spiritual place, they can get us in a jam anytime, right? And so today, that's to me, I think that's what meditation is, right? My spiritual contact is this meditation, right? I'm not, you know, I don't sit there and chant. I don't say prayers over and over. Don't make, you know, dear Lord, allow me to be the whatever. I don't see the Saint Francis prayer. I appreciate it, but I just, you know, I think if I can be aware of where I'm at, where my feet are at, where my head is at, am I in the right place? Is the fence up? Am I in my own yard? Or am I wandering? I can, you know, I think I can focus on that through thinking about it, right? Meditation and prayer. I do think there, you know, I used to do meditation where we would focus on this, the imaginary tennis ball. My buddy Eddie H, who's this breath guy, he's just freaking awesome. And he really opened my eyes and mind to breath and breathing and this cool stuff. But we used to do this breath work where we would imagine the tennis ball, right? And we'd close our eyes and be very quiet and breathing and, you know, ocean breath. And I used to call it monster breath, or reminded me of like Minecraft, right? But regardless, you know, and we would imagine this tennis ball, but every time I would imagine it, it would always be different. Sometimes it'd be fuzzy, sometimes it'd be, you know, green, fuzzy, smooth, spinning, small, big. It was very interesting what tennis ball would be brewed up in my head every time we decided to do this breath work. But I do think there's something to it. I think it sort of reflected what my mood was or what was going on in my life when I would look at the tennis ball. You know, if it was chaotic, it would be spinning. I hadn't quite figured it out, but I do think that stuff is fascinating. But I know that I can, and this is just for me, you know, everybody has their thing. But I came in with such a pre-written idea of what this was going to be. You know, it's the same thing with a spiritual awakening, the same thing with a relationship with a higher power, and the same thing as a kid prior to all this, trying to pray to God. You know, it's almost like going to that an amusement park with a friend, and the friend's like, oh, this is the greatest amusement park ever. You're going to love it. And you get there, and it's a dump. And you're like, damn it. Like, this is disappointing. And not only am I disappointed, but I'm probably not coming back, right? And that's what I've done to myself, right? This little meeting, little convention that goes on in my head. It's like, dude, you're going to find this, you know, this spiritual awakening. You're going to be finally able to talk to God, right? And it just has never happened. At least that version that I've been searching for, I just can't make it happen. So I'm starting to give up, right? And just start feeling, all right, well, what is actually going on? And, you know, I've noted before coming in and being that night of not drinking and driving, this new feeling of peace, that pink cloud, right? That I'd never felt. That must be something. Right, I would imagine if I'm going to have a relationship with the higher power, you know, continuous contact with God, I would imagine the outcome out of it would probably start to feel some peace. Right, that's the whole point. I would hope. Right? But how do I find peace? Start identifying the shit that creates the opposite of it. Right, and those are my character defects, and that's why these steps are so great. We work through them. Right, I've. My buddy Gary's so good when, you know, at the meeting, and he always talks about the principles behind the steps. And so, like, the first step, honesty. The principle behind the first step is honesty, right? Which makes sense, right? We finally admit that we're powerless. We're finally being honest. That's our first, I've said this before, my first humble thing I probably had done. I admit it. I'm powerless over alcohol. My life has become unmanageable. I have a problem, right? And I can't do this. I can't fix it by myself, right? I had to get honest. And then we go into the second step, hope, right? We start to find a higher power, and something to bring us, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could return us to sanity, right? And I love hearing people's story. I was listening to a guy, and he said, I don't know what I thought. I just said, finally, this is it. I believe, and from this point on, I'm going to believe. Without having any proof, right? Just made a decision at that point to believe, right? And sometimes it's just that simple, right? We don't have the burning bush. We don't have these amazing moments where we're like, oh my God, there is a higher power, right? We just have to have faith. I don't care, right? Believe me, the mountain's there. Pull up, pull up. You just have to have faith. And it gives us hope, right? It gives us hope. And then the third one, right? Step three, faith. I think step three is the huge change in our lives. If we are not doing the third step, we're not going to get anywhere. I'm sorry. And somebody else may tell you different. But if we are not changing our behavior, it's not going to reflect in our life, right? Made a decision to turn our will, our thinking, and our lives, actions over the care of a God or of our understanding, right? This is that first humble act. Better decisions, better life. Bad decisions, bad life, right? Been there, done that. But to understand, listen, if I start making better choices, we start having the faith that we can have a better life, right? And then step four, and this absolutely makes sense, but the principle behind step four is courage. I did not have it. I was too afraid. Could not do the fourth step very well. And then obviously the fifth step, which is integrity, because we have to finally be honest. I had no integrity. I had no courage and I had no integrity. And so the fourth and fifth step, I was off on a bad foot, right? But the next time you start to have integrity, this really starts to speak of who we are. What are we made of, right? And we do it. If we can finally do it, and when we finally do that fifth step 100% the way it's supposed to be done, at that point, we do have integrity, you know. And then we get to the sixth step, willingness. Now we're starting to figure out these character defects, right? What am I going to start changing, right? If I don't start changing some obvious shit, right? Stop drinking, obviously a character defect, right? Stop lying, stop cheating, right? The sarcasm, all of these things that I know that I was so good at, right? I had to start giving up, right? I had to give it up. And then, but we sit down with the sponsor and we learn about it, right? These are not punishing steps. I don't know. Some people might think they are. I do not. I think this is the best way to get off on a good foot when we're starting our life over. Like my buddy Gary says, just because we did it doesn't mean we always do it, but it does mean we are capable of doing it. And we must not forget that. We must not forget what we are capable of. I must not forget what I am capable of doing, right? And that's what these steps, especially six and seven, we start to identify, right? And then we get into, so that's the sixth step, willingness, right? And then the principle behind the seventh step is humility. You know, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. That is a freaking major step. These are the things that turns out, for me, are the ones that keeps me from being in the yard, right? That keeps me safe. These are the steps that if I don't do them correctly or if I'm not continuing to work on them, might still fall into the 10th step, but right? I mean, at this point, you know, hopefully we figured it all out. But, you know, character defects, our shortcomings are the things that makes me let go of the hand of God, right? You know, I can be sarcastic. I can be angry. I can be whatever it is. And all of a sudden, I feel bad about it. I feel bad about my behavior. I fear, you know, I had this sort of happened to me yesterday. Damn it. You know, I have all these clients coming in asking me, what are you going to do with your stuff? Right? Always so concerned about my stuff. I don't even have that much stuff, but it just seems to be a simple conversation starter, right? And they always want to ask me. And I told this lady yesterday, I go, don't worry about it. Don't worry about my stuff. I'm going to take care of it. I've hired people. Stop worrying about it. And she's like, okay. Right? Like, I'm like, oh no, what'd you say that for? Right now, I feel like I was mean, but Jesus. So I went out. I felt bad, right, because of my comment. And I didn't say it too mean, but I was like, don't worry about it. Why are you worried about it? I mean, you don't even have, you have a whole world out there. You don't have to worry about my stuff, right? And so I went out and took her. Excuse me. Sorry. Went out and took her pen. I'm like, here, it's the last pen from the salon. She goes, oh my gosh, thank you. Yeah, I left the yard, right? I had all of a sudden had fear, right? My comment. But I'm not freaking perfect, right? But I know that when that shit happens, you know, that starts to, you know, continue to take my personal inventory. When I'm wrong, I promptly admitted it. I shouldn't have said that. I think she was okay. I can sometimes when I say stuff like that, I think if someone said that to me, how would I handle it? And things have been said to me like that. But I was slightly frustrated why everybody is concerned about my stuff. And so it just sort of boiled over. And I'm like, don't worry about it, right? Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. And I felt bad about it. So steps working in my life, right? I don't want to be that guy. I also don't want to say stupid shit and then always be like, hey, you know, I'm sorry. Here's a pen. You know, I got to think a little bit, you know, whatever. But the point was, we're doing the principles, right? And the principle is the six is the willingness and the humility, right? And then we get into the eighth step, right? Brotherly love. And then the ninth step, justice, right? Make amends, clear all that shit out. Number 10, perseverance. And I love that, right? This is where we persevere. We use all the shit we've learned. I use all the stuff that I've learned. Just like yesterday, right? I know all about this stuff, right? This had nothing to do with drinking, right? Me making that comment. It was actually not even, this isn't me doing the next right thing. I shouldn't have even said anything, but the fact is I did, and I didn't go out, hey, I'm sorry I said that. I just took her a pen. I'm like, you know, here's the last pen of the salon. She's like, oh, thank you. It's not like I made an amends, but at the same time, I was like, here, I'm sorry. Here's a pen. I apologize, right? But, you know, I want to persevere. I want to continue. I don't want to, you know, and I would have hated to have not said anything and not given her the pen and then just let her drive off and then being like, you know, it wasn't very nice. You know, I don't want to live with that either. So, but I want to continue to exist, right, as a decent human. So I want to persevere, right? And then we get into the 11th step, the spiritual awareness. And then we go into 12, which is service. You know, my buddy Gary said, I don't know if it's in the reading. Let me see if it's in the reading. I don't even know. It may be. But basically, it came out. It's like, if you haven't done these steps up to this point, you have not had a spiritual awakening. Occasionally, a certain newcomer into those Well, like my buddy Gary said, if you haven't done these first 11 steps correctly, you probably haven't had a spiritual awakening. And I can tell you that I had done these steps, I thought several times, and thought I'd had a spiritual awakening. And now today, having had done these steps really a few times and really sat back and looked at them, I've had the spiritual awakening. I get it. And I feel the same. Nothing changed, right? I'm still me. I just have all the lights on in all the rooms, right? Where I used to have dark rooms and didn't know what was going on in there, the lights are on. I know what's going on. I still have to choose to do something about it. I still have to choose to, manage my day, right? I still have to take my personal inventory, and when I was wrong, promptly admitted it, right? I have to still be aware, but, you know, I don't have a glow, right? I just know that what I've learned is that to me, the relationship with the higher power is a byproduct of living the 12 steps of this program, right? There's a lot of work to get this. I'm sorry, my nose is running. There's a lot of work to get to this point. And so, you know, for me, what I thought was the 11th step when I read it is a little different today. And it's really about just sort of staying in the 10th step, paying attention, trying to do my best, right? Do the next right thing, be the best person I can be. And when I'm not, addressing it, because I don't want to lose the fenced-in yard, right? I don't want to lose that place where I feel free of fear. And I have to stop minding other people's business, right? I need to start focusing and stay in my lane, right? Get my nose straight and, you know, whatever. It's a continuous journey, right? What are we looking at here? I probably went over. I'm excited. We're going out paddling. It's a beautiful day. Super grateful to be sober. Oh, shit. Went long. Let me do a quick reading, and then I will let you go. I appreciate the letting me share. The other thing I did yesterday is I broke up with Comcast. That felt really good. I don't know if people know what Comcast is, but it is a cable service, and they are, they're tough. And I got to break up with them yesterday, and they kept sending me emails, reconsider, don't break up. And I'm like, I'm really breaking up. It's nothing personal. I'm closing down the business. All right, here. Love and fear as opposites, April 17th. All these failings generate fear, a soul sickness in its own. All these failings generate fear, a soul sickness in its own. That's right. It's what we're trying to avoid. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 49. Fear knocked at the door, faith answered. No one's there. I don't know to whom this quote should be attributed, but it certainly indicates very clearly that fear is an illusion. I create the illusion myself. That's right. I experienced fear early in my life and mistakenly thought that the mere presence of it made me a coward. I didn't know that one of the definitions of courage is the willingness to do the right thing in spite of fear. Mm-hmm. Courage, then, is not necessarily the absence of fear. During the time I didn't have love in my life, I most assuredly had fear. To fear God is to be afraid of joy. And looking back, I realized that during the times I feared God most, there was no joy in my life. As I learned not to fear God, I also learned to experience joy. Yep, that's just what I said. Oh, man. Oh, I'm tired. I feel like that's was my whole point, right? You know, I can't be afraid. Right, whether I'm afraid of something I have no control of, or if I'm afraid of something that I've said or done, right, whatever it is, it keeps me from having joy, right? Fear doesn't, you know, talking about it in politics, fear mongering. When people are afraid, it doesn't allow them to make reasonable decisions, right? And it's the same thing in recovery, right? When I am afraid, I make decisions that serve self, right? Because who is afraid? Who in the end becomes afraid? It's self. And I don't want to live like that. I appreciate you letting me share. Have a great day. Later.